In a world of podcasts, one rises in the night to destroy them all. The elder god in an ocean of noise, the Cthulhu of the airwaves. This is Spoiler Country.
All right, guys, welcome back. I'm Kenrick. This is, of course, Spoiler Country, and today we have another Kickstarter signal boost. This one's a lot of fun, I think. If you are a fan of the feudal times of Japan, if you're like me and you like Akira Kurosawa and you're into the Seven Samurais and all of his amazing films, and then, of course, if you grew up on Ninja Scroll or what's the one where it went on for like 7 years? The Champloo. Thank you. I think you're going to like this one. It's called Ice and Bone, a sequel to Blood and Fire. We have the creator and the author, Aaron Robleski, on with us today. Aaron, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you much.
Yeah. So Ice and Bone, it's on Kickstarter. We got 7 days left. This is the sequel.
Yes.
To Blood and Fire.
And yeah, I wanted to kind of change the title slightly for the first, because it's a different storyline, different characters come into it, and the theme of it is ice and bone. And I think it kind of went together with the Blood and Fire being one arc, Ice and Bone being the second arc.
Well, you got 7 days left, and you're only about $143 away from your goal.
Yeah, it's so, last week has been kind of up and down. Like, I get one back here, so I'll keep up, and then back down again.
Yeah. You'll get it. I mean, you're gonna get a push this last, like the last 2 days. You'll be like, oh, I'm well over now.
Yeah,
and hopefully you'll hit some stretch goals.
I have a few kind of waiting in the background, so I think on day four, maybe four left, three left, I'll just put them all on there, just so everyone knows
what's
coming. Just in case I wake up and like it's boomed, or fingers crossed.
So tell us about Ice and Bone and Blood and Fire and this whole concept of what you're doing and how it came to be.
Yeah, well, I've kind of loved Japanese culture from an early age. I actually tried to learn Japanese for a year just so I could actually watch anime and not have to have subtitles. Oh my God, I do not do well with foreign languages. It lasted a year and I quit and said, right, I'll just read the subtitles.
I think it's a culture that, especially that language, it's difficult. It's more difficult than Spanish, I think. And I think you have to be immersed in the culture. Like, you have to be living over there, using it every day and being a part of it to really get it.
For sure. Yeah. Cause one of my mom's friend's son actually could do it fluently. And we always told him, be an interpreter. They're crying out for people. And he didn't pursue it and just kind of faded away. And he just doesn't kind of use it anymore. So it's...
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it was. From an early age, I've loved... Ninja Scroll was the first anime I actually remember watching.
How old were you?
I was probably 11, 10, 11.
Oh. So appropriate for an 11-year-old.
Yeah, totally. I snuck in there. I think my brother was watching it on his. I can't remember if it was on his TV. He got like a burnt copy. I shouldn't say that, but yeah, I snuck in and like watched it with him, and it was amazing. It's like
Oh god.
When the main dude kind of draws his sword and like a line goes across the demon and it splits and he amazing. Yeah.
It's like a whole new world.
I love that. And then the actual artist of my original Kickstarter, Enenra, which is like a post-apocalyptic horror, he posted a artwork of a samurai, and it looked amazing because he has a very unique style of art.
The art is amazing.
Yeah, and I said, well, that would make I love the character, make it pretty cool graphic novel and comic, and he goes, well, write one. So I'm like, okay, I will. So
don't drive me with a good time.
And it kind of gelled really. The first four the first three chapters of Blood and Fire just gelled so quick. I was shocked how quickly it kind of. I think I wrote the first draft within a week. It went so quick, and then obviously the edits after that. I wasn't actually planning on making the sequel, Ice and Blown, for a long while. It wasn't until like the third had finished the Kickstarter. I was like, oh, should I do a trade cover doing this? I was even thinking about doing one with a sleeve, you know, making it really spectacular with like a Japanese artwork over it. But then it just started ticking over about, you know, what is this, the end of the story? And yeah, and Ice and Bone kind of fell into my lap, really.
Well, the art is spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, it's better. I hate to say this, but it's better than what you see in a lot of independent books. You know what I mean? Because independent books is a lot of places where artists cut their teeth, you know, like it's their first book they ever did, or it's this or that. And it can be great. But you know, they're not like,
he's
whoa,
amazing.
And you turn the page of those, you're like, whoa, this guy, the level of detail in his work with black and white, because black and white is a hard medium to actually work with in comic print. It's not, it's like some people get black and white because they can't afford to print in color.
Yeah.
You know, but if the artwork is not tailored to be black and white, there's a huge difference, and you can tell. And then you guys' work with the red, especially, I haven't read Ice and Bone, obviously, but I did read, Blood and Fire, which I really appreciated you sending me that over to me, because I really enjoyed it. I wasn't really knowing what to expect. I saw what I saw on Kickstarter, so I was like, okay, the art's going to be fantastic, but I didn't expect the story to be so fun.
Thank you. Yes, well, it's. Yeah. I mean, that he does amazing work. I give him a little spiel for a panel, and then he creates that. I mean,
yeah,
he makes my life a lot easier. So yeah, he's
lifting amazing. Up your imagination higher than you thought it was, huh?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. And a lot of the times I leave it to him. Like I set out like panel one, blah 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 blah, but sometimes he kind of changes it, and I let him do that because he's the expert. So
yeah,
he'll see something maybe I missed and like change the panel around or something, and it works. It really does. So. I made with the writer, creator, but he brings it to life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Where did the story come from?
I love horror. So I kind of wanted to do a kind of supernatural samurai element, but a bit more grounded, especially at the start. So you kind of get towards the characters. Nakaki is like a family man. He's an honorable samurai. He follows his master. And you know, you get that a sense in the first, especially in the first chapter. You meet the family, his daughter, his wife. But then, when chapter two and three, things
happen.
Start going bad.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how it started. Obviously, it started with the artist Ezekiel's Instagram post with the character. But then it just kind of seemed to get like a life on its own. It came out really quick. I mean, I usually write a brief, like one page and a half kind of outline, and then go from that to a more detailed each episode outline, which I want or issue. And then I go in and write the script for each issue. And I literally wrote all three issues within a week. By a first draft. So I'd gone from outline to detailed outline. I think I almost skipped most of the detailed outline. I went straight into the writing the episodes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's awesome. It was real quick. The longest one was Ice and Bone. Fitting it all together and trying to... Because I think the first issue is 28 pages, first chapter, and then one's 32... The next one's 44, and then the last one's, I think, 32 pages.
Oh.
So it's a bigger scope.
Got some meat on it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. More action, more death.
Yeah,
I've got some real kick-ass action coming up, and I'm super excited to see what Ezekiel does with it.
Nice. I like it. I like it. Is do you tend to stay in a supernatural setting when you write?
I do, yes. Yeah. Because I've got The Gray Man, which is a supernatural horror, which is deals with exorcisms. That was successful on Kickstarter a while ago, last year. I lost a bit of money on the back end with unfulfilled error cards and stuff.
Yep.
It's taking a little longer than normal. Plus, Hernan, the artist, he's kind of backlogged with other commitments. So it's on kind of pause or hiatus until he kind of catches up with his work.
Right.
So yeah, it's been busy. I can't believe it's like almost end of March already.
Yeah. Well, halfway through March. I'm working on my second issue for Supernatural, and it's like I was hoping to launch in April, and I just don't think I'm going to make that timeline.
Yeah.
You know, by the time you get through pages and editing, and I don't like to launch the Kickstarter until I have a completed book. I'll launch if I have like only lettering left.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know. I don't have the capital to do that. So it's I tend to do the covers so people know what they're buying.
Yeah.
When I'm launching, I try and do 8 to 10 pages, get them complete, and then launch for the first issue. And then after that, I just don't have bills to pay, unfortunately. So I can't really have the
I'm right there with you.
Capital, yeah. So it's
that's why it takes a while. Yeah, it takes a while because I'll save up cash to do it. Because I just don't want to. I don't want to fall into a trap of waiting on somebody else. So it's hard. Everybody's got to do it the way they feel is best for them. And it's just working with Kickstarter or any kind of independent book like this is there's a lot of trial and error, you know, and there's no wrong way to do it really. Just as long, you know, you're going through. So, you know, you've had you've had like 10 successful campaigns. So it's like, you know what you're doing.
I try.
Yeah. So where did the, you said once you started writing it and you got influenced by Ezekiel, but where did the meat of the story come from? Did you just sat down and okay, I'm going to start outlining it. It just came out, or is
it's really weird. This one, it just kind of flowed out, and I don't know where it came from. And strangely enough, Shogun started coming out and I set the release on the day that premiered, and it was pure coincidental. Smart. I had no idea it was coming out that day, but that's I've awesome. Been following that series. It's been awesome. It's kind of like, it's so cool.
That works, man. That works.
Yeah.
Was it a conscious effort? Was it a conscious decision to go black and white with splashes of color?
Yes, that was. Yeah. I wanted that.
It's a great effect.
Yeah, I just wanted the blood to be like. So like in your face when it happens, so like noticeable. And then in this one there's a bit more supernatural elements to it, which will be a bit more kind of icy blue, which comes into the from the title. So you will have the blood, but you'll have a bit of blue elements to it as well.
When you went in, you thought, I'm going to do feudal Japan. How did you go about writing about, I mean, how much research do you have to go into and start writing that? And then to understand the honor system and the meaning of certain things. Here, let me wrap it up for you. Cause it's kind of a long one. And then you're pulling in the supernatural stuff. And you, like you said, you have blue effect that you're going to kind of lean on as well. Did you go in and look at that and say, okay, what type of demonic effects do they use? Like in Japanese animation, sometimes I can't tell which is coming from the imagination of the writer and the artist or something that is built off of their heritage. Does that make sense?
Vaguely. I did a bit of research, a lot more research for Ice and Bone than I did Blood and Fire. Blood and Fire was purely kind of the time. I wanted it where, you know, Japan was in chaos, which is kind of the theme where, like, warlords are fighting. There is no central control. The government's basically disbanded. Everything's in chaos. And I wanted to be able to have these stories to say, like, if this happened, you know, with the infighting with the brothers, and then you kind of Ice and Bone leads into that, and you find out why was this brother so against each other, and why he kind of did what he did. It kind of gives a bit of more backstory, and then it does lean into the supernatural. And I did a few I did a lot of research on
I guess my
local Japanese kind of
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, is it based on Japanese mythology or
Is one
which is great either way.
Yeah, there is one specific element which I can't divulge because it's a big spoiler, which is very Japanese mythology in the region. So that's what I put in, and it took a while. That's why Ice and Bone took so long, is because I was doing all the research in the background.
Yeah. That can be the research part can be fun. It can also be very daunting, because you want to try to honor certain things, but at the same time, you're like, I really need to make
Wikipedia.
This. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't talk to Wikipedia. That's for that way. Otherwise, wife would kill me. It's like, it's not a true source.
It's not a good source. Yeah. It's not a true source. I'm doing a book right now that's based around. It's not about Al Capone, but it's about Al Capone. Okay. And it uses a moment in time. I don't know how old you are, but in 1986, Geraldo Rivera was a TV reporter, right? And you might have heard his name. He was actually quite famous for a long time. More notorious than anything else. And he did this 2-hour-long special where they found a vault in the Lexington Hotel in Chicago that was owned by Al Capone. And the vault was hidden and no one had ever opened it. And so here it is, 1986. It's like 40 years after Capone had died and no one has opened this vault in the amount of time. And so they're going to open this vault live on TV and like, what's inside the vault? You know, is it paperwork that is showing all this stuff that had happened? Is it bodies? Is it Jimmy Hoffa? Who knows? We don't know what's inside this vault. And of course he opens it and there's nothing in there. After a 2-hour long, and like 35 million people tuned in to watch this. So I use that as a catalyst, and I had to go back and read all this stuff about it and, you know, and go through it. So it's interesting to go through it. Like on my first book, I didn't have to do any research. It all came from my head. You know, I had to like look up procedures on how to do certain things. But other than that, it was just like, I can just do this, you know? So it's always fun when you're getting into something and you have to do a little bit of research and make it that much more plausible. Cause when I read the first book, man, it felt like you were there.
Yeah.
The art and the story and everything. It felt good. It felt like a lot of fun. I'm excited to read Ice and Bone when it comes out.
Thank you much.
Yeah.
It's been a journey.
Yeah. How many books are planned? I think you said three or four.
Yeah. Ice and Bone's got 4.
Wow.
And that's it. It's all done. And the storyline is finitoed. I have given my my all to the samurai.
Okay, so how many were it was in Blood and Fire?
3.
Ah, so what I read, book 1 of Blood and Fire, so I got to get 2 and 3.
Yes.
And then be able to read Ice and Bone.
Yes. And then you can get them all in the Kickstarter. All the previous issues are
available. Oh, perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a look at the Ice and Bone Kickstarter page. So let me go present and let's share screen. Yes, yes, yes. And let's show this one. Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
And boom. There. Look at that. Look at that. So
technology in a grand.
I know. If we scroll down, why isn't it not scrolling? Isn't it grand? Doesn't even scroll. It's not scrolling, right?
No, it's not. Maybe refresh. Right. I don't know.
No, it should. Let's try it again. I don't know, understand why it's doing that.
Spoke too soon. Jinxed it.
Right. Share screen. Share screen. Screen. Let's just do this. Maybe if I do. Here we go. That was weird. Okay. So Ice and Bone, sequel to Blood and Fire. Now, when I'm looking at this, when you do this, the Kickstarter, is this going to be all three or all four sets in this Kickstarter for Ice and Bone? Is this book one of Ice and Bone? And we're going to see a Kickstarter.
This is just, yeah, this is just book one. This is number
one. Gotcha. Okay. Smart. That's how I would do it too. I wasn't too sure.
Yeah. Probably missed that in the top. Probably should have put Ice and Bone in a hashtag one. I missed that.
Yeah, book one or something.
Yeah.
Samurai action horror, 16th century Japan, anarchy reigns, revenge took Nakaki beyond blood and fire, and now there's only ice and bone. I love it. Dun, dun. Dun, dun. Look at that. You're at $143 away, which I'm sure you're going to get. We're 6 days to go. Let's look at some of these goals. Stretch goals. Ink one, Lamp Black, number one preview. Lamp Black, that's so you're working with some other guys to put some extra books in there.
Yeah. I've got quite a few indie comics like ready to rock and roll. Some previews, which they've kindly given us. So yeah, there's quite a few indie stuff.
That's coming. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works good because you never know what you're going to get into and find something. That's the cool thing with indie stuff is you never know what you're going to get. And then when you get that gem, you're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know this was even out there. we can see a really cool, look like an undead samurai.
Yeah, that was Hernan Gonzalez. He's the artist from The Gray Man. So he kind of, he started with doing like a variant cover for Blood and Fire number 2, and he's done he did number 3 and Ice and Bone 1.
That's awesome.
So yeah, he's a pretty talented guy.
Yeah, so kind of gone over the story. Everybody kind of has already heard that part, so we can go in and we can get into some of this amazing art going on here. I mean, this is from their first book, right?
Yes. Yep.
That's how we start the story.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the detail.
Deep trouble.
Yeah. This reminds me a lot of Ronin from Frank Miller. Mm. The look of it, the feel of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the story, but the feel of it, which is great.
I wanted to kind of keep that kind of theme, you know, of that style. And make it work for, and then with the you know, the blood, like on that third, you know, the bottom panel, it just works so well with his artwork. Yeah. And Ezekiel is phenomenal. It's just,
dude, well, the idea and the decision to go black and white with the red like this was genius, because it really pops and it makes it, you could feel it. You know, a lot of times, I mean, colors are great, but sometimes when you have too much color going on, then you kind of lose some of that emotion. Hmm. Yeah, this made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, that's his daughter and his wife. I'll have a little cheeky moment.
So this is taking place in the past, right? Or no, in the future. Then we go into the past with him at home, and he's remembering how he got to that point.
Yeah, it's kind of flips around.
Yeah, yeah. You start at the end.
Not so in the end.
Well, just for that book.
Just for that book.
Yeah.
He kind of flips, and then he kind of catch up with where he is at that point, and then he continues.
Yeah. Yeah. This artwork is so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so did he use that Japanese actor as a model for this?
No comment.
He did not.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I actually wrote this long before that came out, and I've always loved Sanada. He's amazing in everything he does. Scorpion, oh my God. with Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. Yeah, exactly.
Kicks ass.
And yeah, he's in The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise, even.
Yeah. He's the main dude in Shogun. So I just kind of loved. He seems to have this presence every time he gets, he comes onto the camera, and it's just amazing. So that's who I base Nakaki on.
There you go. So we got some media bundle. So if you 7,500 backers, then and Enra.
Yes, that was my first comic.
Nice. And then Haunting number one. Nice.
Yep.
And then at 100 and 125 backers, you're opening up Armageddon Quest, which was actually quite a bit of fun. I wasn't expecting to like that as much as I did. Have you read it yet?
I haven't. No, yet. Not yet.
You'd be because that kind of art style, it kind of reminds me of Adventure Time and that Nickelodeon style animation, even Rick and Morty. I'm not a huge fan of that art style for me personally, So it was a little bit of a turnoff when I first saw it. But then when you start reading it, it's like, oh, this works so well. And then when you start reading it, you're like, oh, I totally get it. And I can see why Dave is such a he's such a candlelight holder for this series. I can understand. It's really good. The new Dusk and then The Gray Man, which you did last year.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
And then
we get into Monster Matador, one of my favorites by the incomparable Stephen Prince. Mm-hmm. And Killaroo Scars. What is that one about? Do you know?
Kangaroo that kicks ass.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's you don't realize how much it gets pretty violent.
Yeah,
so it's pretty good. Yeah.
So these are opened up based on the amount of backers you're getting.
Yep. I mean, people, you can back for like a buck.
Yeah.
And.
And get these if you're part of it.
Yeah. And then,
yeah.
So it adds up. So I've got a few people who've backed for like a buck. You get the usual like backer kit. So it all adds to the backer numbers. So if you don't want to pledge, you can just put a dollar on, a couple of bucks, and then these will be yours. Yeah.
So the special add on, get for $5, get all novels and collector prints. That's
signed
crazy.
By me. Yes.
For an extra $5?
Yeah, I'll sign everything. Yeah, you'll get a request, join the survey. I'll put in, what do you want signed? Do you want just the book signed? You want the print signed? Because there's collector prints further down. I'll sign them all for $5.
Look at these miniature samurai swords.
Yeah, these are wicked. They're like 6 inches.
Oh. And
one of my friends from my
are they actual worked, knives?
Yeah, they're proper metal. They're not knives. They're not sharp. They're just blades. They are metal.
But that's cool.
6 inches, and you can see that one. They are key rings, and you can see the little tag on the left side. One of my friends actually clipped them off and filed it down, so it looks smooth and it looks really cool.
It looks cool.
So my friend actually does the etching, so he etches the name of the book on the sheath.
Oh, cool!
So you see that there. You
can have a great idea.
Yeah, so you can have the choice of the collectors, which you have like -1, -2, -3, or you can just have it just the title, whichever your choice. Oh,
what a great idea! And then the charm.
And then you have a customizable keyring, which you have. You can put your name on it.
3D model add-on. Are you 3D printing these?
I have a guy doing the 3D printing, so I've got 6. All of them are painted in the stone effect, so I've painted them all, ready to go.
Nice. Then here's your novel add-on. So $10 for the models. Oh, and you did metal. How did the metals turn out? They probably look great, but how is it doing the metals?
I've come from Carissa Grant. She does metal covers and kind of pushed me in that direction, give me some hints. So I haven't actually used them yet. So I am itching to get someone to
order,
make a metal so I can order one for me and check it out.
That is cool. So,
you can get all of them. You can get the retail covers. You get all the variant covers. They're all there. And then down into
that's cool.
The prints.
And then you got a lot of cool prints.
Yep. I did have more, but it kind of seemed to be overwhelming.
Oh, that one's cool.
I kind of picked my favorites.
Yeah. All right. This one's cool. Print 9.
Oh, yeah.
And then the digital extras.
Yeah, because in the when you get a variant cover, if you scroll back up, you probably see them better. Keep going up. Back to the covers.
Oh
no! Yeah, up. There you go. So when you get the variant cover, you'll get a digital package which includes the cover, a version cover, and a desktop wallpaper.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that looks nice.
Yeah. So when you buy the previous editions, you know, the Blood and Fire, you won't get the digital. So you have to buy them separately. But when you buy the variants for the normal price of Ice and Bone, they are included as a freebie.
Very nice.
It's just going to drop the price to $15 for the variant covers, so the digital packages aren't included.
So you're using Comics Wellspring?
Yes.
So that's good. And then, this looks great. And you're so close.
So close. I've been so close for like a week. I have been like, please.
All right, let's check out the video. Now, I've been having issues with the sound, and honestly, I just haven't taken the time to troubleshoot it. So okay. We'll see. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, that's okay. I'll overlay it afterwards. Does that make sense?
Yes, that sounds good.
I can hear it. Can you hear it?
I can't hear it.
Ah. That's okay. I'll overlay the video. That looks really good.
Yeah, I didn't do this, by the way. Just point out, this was nothing to do with me. Because Red 5 Comics is publishing Blood and Fire. They made this little intro. All I did is put it into PowerPoint and added the little bit in the end. This bit is why I did.
Ice and Bone. I like it. Dun, dun, dun. Is it 96%? Yeah. It's going to happen, dude. So, okay, what were you saying? Who did it? Who did that video for you?
Red 5 Comics.
Red 5 Comics.
Yeah, they're publishing the Blood and Fire. The first issue comes out in stores in...
So you got a publisher to pick up the first set, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll help you with the next. Nice.
Yep.
How has it been working with them?
They've been brilliant so far. Yeah, they've been awesome. Nice. I have to say, though, it will be different. My comics are bigger. I print out at 8 times 10.5, where obviously it's, you know, they print out at a normal size. So mine are a little bit.
Yeah, bigger. They're doing the 6x6, 3x10.25.
Yeah. So they're, so when you buy from the Kickstarter, you will get the bigger size and all the books.
What made you go with the bigger size?
I just think it looks, the artwork needs it. I think the artwork is amazing. And all my books on Kickstarter, whether it's Enenra, The Gray Man, Blood and Fire, or Ice and Bone, I've always printed
an oversized edition.
Yep.
Interesting. Do you ever think of going like manga style? Just because of what the context of what you're creating?
Maybe I might do a special.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I mean, I just make it go the other way.
I could do. People might like it. You know.
Yeah.
Something
you get a kick out of it, but then you go smaller, right? And then reestablish those panels in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it might be worth it, you know, do a special I am thinking of doing trade covers eventually. That's a long way away. Maybe do like a little manga version as like a.
I think the manga version would I think people would like it. They'd get a kick out of it. You know, I mean, manga's taken over everything, and the fact that you're doing a 16th century Japan supernatural story.
I mean, I'm waiting for those Amazon and Netflix, you know,
deals to come calls. In.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
That's what I'm waiting on mine, man.
Yeah, I think everyone waits.
I'm like, oh, come on, guys. Come on, guys.
Come on. I've seen the crap you put on there. I'm sure you can afford to do mine.
Right? Mine's at least a half a step better than that crap.
Yeah, I'm probably a lot
my crap plus. Yeah, it's tough doing it's actually tough doing the Kickstarter. Did Red Comics help you do your Kickstarter campaign on this one?
No, they kind of just
the video.
They're busy doing a lot of other stuff, so I concentrate on the Kickstarter, get the book, you know, made, send it out to all the backers, and then Red 5 get the digital copy, you know, all the pages, so they edit it out, do the layout for them and their size, because obviously mine being slightly bigger and, you know, different portions, they have to edit that to kind of squish into their size. Then they do all that.
What about bags and boards, man? Did you figure that out?
No.
No. No. You're like, that's not my problem.
They can do that shit.
Oh, that's funny. You're like, no. Well, you can go, like, I think at the, because the comics in the 80s were slightly bigger than the comics now. Yeah. I don't think it's the same size.
Is it like Mars? They're... It's like chocolate bars. They always seem bigger when you were a kid. I know you were smaller, but I mean, come on. I swear they've shrunk in the last 15, 20 years.
I'm going to look it up. 1980s comic dimensions. Yeah, see, they're 7 1/4 inches wide by 10 1/2.
Oh, okay.
So they're like a full inch wider.
Mine's still bigger.
Yeah, you're still bigger. You're still bigger. You're bringing that BDE in the room.
Yeah. It's not the size, it's how you use it, but mine's still bigger.
It's this, you know, I just.
I mean, it gives something back to the back, you know, it gives something back to the backers. I mean, they've put their hard earned cash to the support of these campaigns. So.
Yeah. No, it's cool. I think, well, that artwork does deserve to be on a bigger, bolder print to really see it for what it is, because the definition in it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He
kicks ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to know how much he's charging you.
To be honest, he's pretty reasonable.
Is he really?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be able to afford it otherwise, but yeah.
Yeah. You sign that Netflix deal, he won't be affordable anymore.
That's why I'm getting it all out now.
Is there a chance, like, if you do Ice and Bone and then you just kind of feel it, you think you'd want to do another one, or you think you're pretty much sure you're done with this?
I think the Ice and Bone is it. The way it finishes, I like it. It's definitive. It kind of lets the reader, you know, make their own mind up in a certain way. I think this is it. I mean, I said that about Blood and Fire, and I'm came back. But I think this is it.
Well, all it takes is for you to be like laying down one night, and then a stupid idea worms its way into your head, and you're like, God damn it, I got to write this out.
I mean, my wife hates me for that. I'm like on my phone. What are you doing? Nothing. She's like, who is she? It's like, my book. It's like, oh, okay. It's like almost disappointed.
Sometimes I wish he was just a rebel.
Yeah, it's like, sometimes he just bore me. It's like,
but he's just a nerd.
But he just decapitated somebody.
Yeah, it's just the ideas come to me in waves, and then I'm like, okay. And I've got like a book just full of different ideas. And it's like,
well, my next big one is I'm currently writing the second book for, so it's a bit of a big one. It's a science fiction horror. I do like my horrors. It's like in the vein of like Event Horizon Aliens.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, and the artist who did Caleb, who did the Red Samurai for Blood and Fire 2 variant cover. Mm-hmm. He's interested in doing the artwork, so that is an exclusive for you. I was hoping to do that this year, but with the money loss from the Gray Man, I've had to kind of postpone it. Maybe to the end of the year, maybe next year. But yeah, that's my next big project. So
yeah. Do you find yourself working on other things after you're done? Like, you know, you need to be finishing up Ice and Bone. You know, you should be doing things, but then you can't help but I got to do a little bit over here because it's just there.
I think I'm writing like 4 books at the moment.
Yeah.
2 actual novels, normal novels, and 2 comics. So
yeah,
I dabble.
I gave up on the novels because every time I'd get about a chapter in and then I would lose, I always just lose steam on them. I think the comics just give me that ability to be creative in such a different way that I can sit.
It's a lot quicker. Writing a script because it's visual. The artist does basically the work. It's not because I started as a script writing, and then there was a TV series.
Oh, nice.
That's how I actually met Ezekiel through the agency.
Yeah.
Though it didn't really get any traction because I'm a nobody, no studio is going to pick me up. Right. The agency I was with,
get what you're saying.
Yeah. One of them actually said it would make a kick-ass graphic novel.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel was on their books and he became interested in it. And then that's how we kind of started. The way I visualize this writing the script is pretty much how I write the comic. I visualize, you know, the panel and I just write what I see. So it's very similar for me, but then writing an actual novel, you have to write everything down on the page.
Yeah.
And it's very time consuming. And you have to do it so it's not boring to read.
Right.
Yeah. That's the problem. It's like
for
the book I'm writing at the moment, I'm like 194 pages into it. And it's not like writer's block because I know what happens in it. It's just like almost like writer's fatigue. Like I've got this scene and I don't know how to write it. And I'm just like,
you've outlined it, right? Now you're just filling in the gaps.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got from A to B to
C. I mean, that's how I do it. Yeah. Yeah. It was with comics. How do you, which direction do you take? Like for me, I'll come up with my overall, my basic story is going to be in my head, you know, what I'm thinking. And then I'll sum up my characters, my protagonist, my antagonist, and then any supporting characters. And then I'll start to outline the books. And then the outline is very vague. Like this happens. Then we meet this person, then this, then we meet this. And then, you know, it ends on this.
Yeah.
And then when I go to write the script, I don't write a general script. I actually create my panels. I flow all my panels on the pages. And then I start writing my story based on that because it helps me visualize what I'm doing. And then when I get to the end, I'm like, okay, then I write my script from that. And then I give that to the artist and I give them the panel layout. If they're so inclined, I tell them, look, this is how I visually saw the book in my head. You do not need to use you can use it as a guide or you can ignore it if you so choose. You know what I mean? The script is here. It has everything you possibly could need. But at the same time, if you want to see what I'm seeing, you can use this as well. Yeah. That seems to work really well.
I mean, I tend to let the artist do the panels. Unless I have like a specific, like a large, I want this scene to be boom there. Or like a whole panel. Taking up the whole page. But usually if I've got like 6 or whatever panels with dialogue and stuff, I can usually let the artist feel what they think and placements, things like that. But I tend to start with, you know, I keep it in my head for a long while, maybe write a few little notes on my phone, but if it's still ticking there after a couple of weeks, maybe a month, I'm still thinking about it, keep coming back, then I start writing about it. Like I say, start with a page treatment, very brief outline and then kind of expand from there.
Yeah. Are you, what's your favorite part of the process?
It depends on the book. For like a fantasy, I love making maps for the world. Okay. I create the first thing I do if I really like the storyline is I create a world map. So I know where cities are. So I know where I don't make a mistake of like, oh, he went south to such and such, where actually that is actually
like that was north. East.
Yeah. Yeah. Or things like that. Oh, there's like a mountain there and he just like went through a jungle. It's like, what? Damn it. So yeah, I do love doing that. I've got a map creating software, which I love. I actually gave it to my son and he just like doodles and makes maps randomly.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I do love doing that. But creating the world, not just the map itself, but actually creating the lore and not just the characters per se, but the world itself.
What affects the characters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've got a plan for like 6 dark fantasy novels. Do you ever watch The Village? The Night Shyamalan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Loved the film up to the twist.
Yeah. Yeah, that part features. Ruined it for me. I was like, no.
And then she jumped the fence. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So I created a series of novels around a village which is surrounded by fog. And there's demons, there's creatures in the fog. And the way they transfer from village to village is over a pulley system. So they have massive towers and they go on like big baskets, huge.
Yeah.
So they can take people and...
You know, so they got trams set up between
Between each village and stuff.
Yeah.
And then like partway through...
So the demons can't get them through the fog? Yeah.
And you find out why later on, but you know, the first book, the fog starts creeping into the village and like, you know, everyone's panicking. Why is the fog slowly creeping? Because it's basically you could stand in front of it and it's like a wall of fog. That you can like reach in and almost touch it and like bring it out and it will just like slowly seep back in. And then suddenly it starts creeping in and people are panicking as like, why is this happening? And it's like a mass evacuation and everything, all hell breaks loose. And then you kind of, from people from that book, you kind of figure out why this is all happening. And
that's a great idea.
Yeah. It's Game of Thrones meets The Village.
Yeah. I like it. That's a great idea. That, it reminds me of like if they took The Mist and added the component of having neighboring cities that are going through the same situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Very similar. Yeah. Very similar to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I like it. Yeah. That Capone's vault one is going to be a lot of fun because once they open the vault, then all these demons are released. But people watching on TV don't know that demons were released. It looks like it's just an empty vault. But the people there feel everything that's happening. And then my protagonist, her name is Rain Denny. And Denny, Saint Denny was an actual French saint. And the story goes in like 248 or 258, somewhere around that time frame, he was martyred by the Roman Empire and they cut his head off. And apparently he got up, grabbed his head and walked into Gaul, modern day France, and started a monastery. And so Rain, she is a 14-year-old girl and she gets possessed by one of these demons, but she is also a descendant from Saint Denny. So her willpower, she doesn't know this, but her willpower is such and her abilities are such that she can contain the demon inside of her and they can't possess her. She ends up being the master of the possession. And so she can use its powers. And then she starts hunting down all these demons that escape Capone's vault and she's got to put him back in. And then the whole time she's got to figure out why her dad was murdered, you know, and her mom was killed and kind of find out her past. And then we meet some other characters that affect everything. But that whole concept of thinking of, you know, and her name, she's possessed by a demon king, but her name Rain means queen in French. And then she's a saint. So she's, you know, she's a queen, a queen of Saint Denny that is controlling a king of demons. So it's kind of like there's a twist on the name, and then the fact that she has a thing. And that's what I like to do is try to figure out how do I incorporate these things that might not mean I might not use those at all in the story, but they drive the character in a way that that for me is really cool.
And I mean, then, even if you have like a little back flash or something, it just,
it
lifts the character.
Yeah, yeah, she's gonna find out that she's in the lineage of Saint Denny, but at the same time, it's like you said, it's that world building and figuring out how you're gonna make things happen is part of the fun. I think for me, it's the brainstorming when you first like that first burst of energy that comes in and. Oh my God, what if we did this and did this and this happened and this happened?
Yeah. Especially when you like create a scenario where one of the main characters gets trapped or something and you're like, how is he going to get out of this? And like, well, what if he doesn't?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. What if he doesn't? Yeah. Yeah. What if that character dies right there? What?
What? No, we can't do that. Yes, I can.
Well, it's. Dude, it's funny because like my first book is super. It's called Supernatural Baby Detective, and it's such a dumb name. And we were making. I was doing an interview with Michael Tanner, who did Junior Braves the Apocalypse and a bunch and Orcs in Space, and he just did this one, Absolute Zeros, okay, which is cool. You know, it's fun. It's a kid's book, but he does a really good job. Him and his writing partner Greg Smith do a really good job. But I was interviewing him. And we were just joking about like nonsensical things that come together, you know, and I love detective novels and supernatural detective novels. I'm in the bag for. So it's like it could be like the worst writer on the planet, but they're doing supernatural and gumshoe style detective agency. I'm already like a part of it. And I said supernatural baby detective. It made me laugh on the spot. And then it started. I'm like, I should write a book that is like. Look who's talking, but with a supernatural twist. And then something entirely different came out once I started writing it. That's not what came out at all. But it's that initial burst of energy that happens that really, I don't know, that's what half the fun is that for me. And then figuring out how it works.
I think that gives you the drive to then go further.
Yeah.
Gives you the energy to like, okay, what happens next? Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't get rid of that buzz. It's intoxicating. It kind of keeps me creating. I mean, my wife always says I'm never going to stop and I'm probably hopefully never will.
Yeah. I don't think I will. I think I'll retire and I'll still be doing some type of writing.
Oh, for sure. If I retire, I'll be doing more writing because I'll have more time.
So besides Ice and Bone, your newest, what has been your favorite project for yourself?
Well, I think Anenro is probably, you know, my first one.
It means a lot.
That does have a sweet spot. But I mean, I'm really digging this, the one I'm writing now. The first book, the first five issues are done. That's the first book. I'm writing the second book now.
Nice.
I probably should stop and give myself a break, but I just
never.
Can't.
No. Never.
It's because it that kind of changed as well. Because I was just envisioning it like an ending, and then just finish it. But then I like, oh wait, I want this to happen, and that didn't happen in the previous book, so I have to do it now.
I really want this to happen. I want to see this.
Yeah, because I have this scene that I'm actually very close to actually writing. I've not even got to it yet.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I want him to do this, and I'm like, I can't do it there, but I can do it here. And it's like, it's gonna be like a double page. Two single pages and then a double page of like,
yeah.
And I can't wait. Nice.
Is there somebody out there that writes that you're like, when you see a scene that they've done and you're like, dang man, I wish I had that ability, or I wish I would have thought of that for my book, the way they did this. It might not have to be the exact scene, but the way they analyzed it and the way they set it up made such a difference that it.
I like the concept for I Drive for Cerber. I think it's amazing. I mean, that concept of like a taxi service for like monsters.
Yeah, Instinct Comics.
Like, oh my God, I wish I'd thought of that. I mean, I'm itching to get to ask them if I could put like a little Cerber like taxi in the Gray Man.
Like, yeah.
It won't be until like, I think like the 7th issue.
Where have you talked to Sean?
Sean
Barber?
I kind of alluded to it, and he kind of went, we'll see, kind of. But, you know, it's his baby. I don't want to spoil it. You know, I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah.
But we'll see if Gray Man gets there, to be honest. I'm on issue 1. This won't be until, like, issue 6, 7, when one of the characters is in Chicago. I actually kind of thought it'd be cool if the taxi he uses was, you know, theirs. But I mean, if it doesn't happen, it's no biggie. But it'll be, you know, kind of little, kind of good for the backers and a nice little Easter egg. But if it doesn't happen, it's his. Like I said, it's his baby. I do not want to mess with it. But that concept alone, you could go so many different directions. I mean, it's like boom. You can have like 20,000 spin-offs, and it'd still be amazing.
I'd be surprised if Sean doesn't let you do something like that. He's a good guy. And he's super, he's almost super easy to talk to. He's always super easy to talk to. He did a great review of my Supernatural for me, which I really appreciated.
He's pretty cool. I've not really spoken to him directly, just on like Facebook messages and stuff. So, But I love his stuff. I'm looking forward to the next issue of it. So, I read that one. My son loved it too. So,
nice.
The next one, Hey, nice. I pretty much give my son everything. He loves comics. So, I usually give him like free, especially mine. You know, like, when's the next one coming out? It's like, I've not even written it yet.
Give me some time.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, man, thank you so much for joining and coming on and bullshitting today. It's a lot of fun, and I wish you all the luck with Ice and Bone. I'm pretty positive. I'm gonna I'll sign up and back you here in a bit because now I gotta read the rest of them. So thanks for that.
Got you hooked.
And I love your writing style. I think the artist that you chose is phenomenal. And really, I just can't wait to see how this comes together. So I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on your show. It's been,
been great. All right, guys. Peace. Get out there. Go to Kickstarter. Look up Ice and Bone by Aaron Robleski. I almost tried to merge your names together. Your first and last.
I was wondering where how
that was
going
to work. Yeah, that's not going to work. But get out there. Check out Ice and Bone on Kickstarter. And you will be thoroughly surprised and thoroughly enjoy the artwork, the writing, and everything that happens in between. Don't forget to open the mind and read more.
Spaghetti!